right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Vision Sunday. So glad to have you with us and so pumped for just this day and what God has for us. Look at the person next to you and say, I think you've lost a little weight. Come on, let them know. Let them know. Looking good? Looking good. And man, so glad to have you. I want to just very quickly draw your attention here again to, everybody say, at the movies. Man, it's next week. It is hard to believe that it has come and it is here. And I just want to encourage you. You got your invites on your chairs on your way in. Just want to really encourage you. Invite, bring people. We do this for 4 Sundays, and it's going to be incredible. And we've got 4, I believe, great movies that we are tying biblical messages to. It's why we do it. Jesus modeled it with the parables that we see in the Gospels, and so that's been our inspiration. And so I just encourage you, get these invites in people's hands, your friends, coworkers, bring them here, and we're going to have an amazing time. There'll be popcorn. There'll be soda available as well. We'll even have different characters that is going to be present in costume, and your kids will be able to get pictures with them. It's going to be awesome, everybody. And so, and the biggest goal of this at the movies is that people come to Jesus. We saw so many people make decisions last year during this time. And so it's incredible. And so I just encourage you again, bring somebody, tell them you're picking them up, man, and just get them here. And we're going to have an amazing month for at the movies. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, just before we get into the message, I want to update you on this, on your behalf. This week, if you didn't know, and if you don't follow us on social media, I don't always look to that for communication, but I wanted to let you know on your behalf, obviously you have seen on the news the devastation that's happened in Houston, Texas with Hurricane Harvey. And so on your behalf this week, man, we gave into helping send supplies and all kinds of things as a church. We partnered with Convoy of Hope, who I believe is one of the greatest natural disaster relief organizations, Christian organizations in the world today. And so we partnered with them. And so we just, on Monday, on your behalf, man, we partnered with them, sent them a check, let them know that if there's anything else that we can do, we want to do it. Also, want to let you know, ARC, who we, our church organization that we're a part of, is also helping in a big way. We have a lot of, this morning, many of our brothers and sisters down in Houston that are not having services, that have lost homes, and that pastors that I know that have lost homes. And so not quite sure how they're going to pick up right now, but I just want to encourage us as the body of Christ, pray for the people of Houston, all down the coast of the Gulf there. They need support. And so I'm just so glad that we're a part of something much bigger than ourselves, that when disasters like that happen, that we as a church run to the aid and want to help in any way that we can. Can you say a good amen? And so I just want you to know that your church, on behalf of you this week, that we did that and that we are continuing to look of how we can help. And so again, many of those that we love and know are in a place that, man, I'm just telling you, need a lot of prayer and support. And so we just will be there for them any way that we can. Amen. All right, grab your message notes, because we're going to get right into it here today. And I'm excited about this message because it's vision. Everybody shout vision. And so this is easy for me to preach on and to talk about, because this is everything that we are and everything that we're continuing to grow and to be the church that God has called us to be. And so I've got some things that's going to help me preach, all right? We're not having a ladder match, all right? So for all the wrestling fans, you know what a ladder match is, all right? So anyways, but nonetheless, I got some things we're going to show you and speak to you. Our mission here, I want to just write this down if you're following along this morning, is this. This is the mission that God gave us more than 5 years ago now, that we exist to reach the unchurched and awaken the spiritually restless to love God and to love people, to reach those that are unchurched, that don't have a relationship with Christ, that don't know Him personally, that we are a church that exists for them. We are a church that exists for the ones that are not here, the ones that are not sitting next to you. Come on, how many know the family members or the friends or the coworkers that you're believing God to save? Amen? We exist for them, and so we exist for you as well. You know, we try to do a great job around here. We want to do weddings well, funerals well, counseling well, and continuing to point people to Christ, and doing a great job with our kids and our students, and just continuing to grow in that. And so we want to make sure we're doing great in those areas, but that's not our primary focus. Our primary focus is reaching people that don't know Jesus. Amen? And so that's who we are. That's what we're about. And then the restless. Who are the restless? I believe Fort Wayne has a lot of spiritually restless people today. Those that may have had a relationship with God at one point, but for whatever reason have drifted. Those that may have been in a place that may have gotten even hurt by church in the journey and have kind of just lost their way. We exist for them as well. And we want to take them on a journey. We want to go on a journey of loving God and learning to really love people and do a great job at that. You know, I don't claim to be, I've said this for years, I don't claim to be a great theologian, a great preacher, but the one thing I try to do real well is love God and love people. And I just think if we can do that real well, once we get to heaven, I think that's a great legacy to leave, that we are a people of love. Could you say a good amen? And so that's the hope that we are that. So what we do is we filter every idea, every program, every budget request through our mission statement. In other words, if it doesn't help meet our purpose, then we don't do it. So everything that we do is navigated through the mission that God has given us. And so this mission statement really has come from two scriptures that I want to read to you this morning. And then I'm just going to share some stats with you here today. If you're ready, shout, I'm ready.
Ready.
All right, Jesus said this in Matthew 22, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Again, he was asked a great question. Another version says an important question to Jesus, and he gave an important answer back. And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Everybody shout, love God.
Love God.
Come on, shout,
love God.
Love people.
Love people.
There you go. Mark 16, and then he told them, "You are to go," everybody shout, go, "into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. But those who refuse to believe will be condemned. And those who believe these signs are going to follow, they'll use my authority to cast out demons. They shall speak new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. And they will be able to place their hands on the sick and heal them." So that is our mission. That's what we are about here at Elevate City. And so I wanted to take a few minutes this morning and just share some things, update you on a few things before I get into the rest of the message here today. Numbers are important. And a lot of people ask, say, why are numbers so important? Numbers are important to God. Every person represents a life. Every life has a story, and every story is important to God. Amen, everybody? The Bible, there's a book called Numbers in your Bible. All right, the Bible says that God knows the very number of hairs that are on your head. How many know God's interested in numbers? I have three kids, not two. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's important that I know that. So if I'm on a trip, that I remember I have three and not betting 80%, you know. Well, two's not bad. I'm missing one. But, you know, how many know numbers are important? That we understand. That's all I'm trying to get to you this morning. And so just in 2017 alone, we have seen 381 decisions for Jesus just this year. Isn't that awesome, everybody? 381. It's awesome. To God be the glory. In our five-year existence as a church, we're nearing the 2,000 mark of seeing souls saved. We've now seen 1,969 people make decisions for Jesus. Come on, somebody. Amen? Yeah. And we don't just stop there. You probably have heard me on a Sunday talk about, man, not just saying a prayer, but taking next steps. And so we're seeing many plug into Growth Track. And you heard the story from Megan today of took that step. And man, that woman of God is just, man, running with strength and with vision. We couldn't be more proud of her. And then many getting in Growth Track. And then many getting in small groups. I'm really excited about what's happening with our small groups. I think we've got the greatest momentum that we've ever had in the history of our church. And so we're just seeing God do some incredible things in relationships. We launched Rally Day last week. We have nearly right around 30 different small groups. That's pretty good. And you know what that is? 30 leaders that are rising up and more leaders that are rising up. It is our call and our responsibility not to just sit in a chair on a Sunday and hope for the best through the week, but that we put some action to our prayers, step up and say, God, how can I be a part of the answer right here in our community? And so we have many of these leaders that are stepping up. Real proud of my mom who is helping to direct that. But I'll tell you what, she'll tell you this. She cannot do this alone. We have got incredible coaches that are assembled. And those coaches and their responsibility to help mentor those leaders. And so what I love about small groups is if you're hungry for leadership, man, it's happening and it's growing. And the key is we don't know everything, everybody. And we learned, honestly, a year ago, our numbers were not good in small groups. There was only 42% of you that were in small groups. And so as a pastor, I was not real happy to see those numbers. And so I just knew that it's not focusing on getting bigger, but we've got to continue to focus on getting better. I'll never forget one of the stories from Truett Cathy from Chick-fil-A. He came into who's since died and is with the Lord now. But in the early days of Chick-fil-A, their biggest competitor was Boston Market. And so he went into a meeting and he said his executive board were all around the table talking about how we need to get bigger. And he comes, he was very furious, and he comes at his chair, his table, slams his fist on the table, and he says, "I'm tired of you all talking about getting bigger. What we need to be talking about is getting better. Because when we get better, our customers will demand that we get bigger." And I just thought that's a great leadership principle, that we just focus on just learning, amen, growing, and getting better. One of the constant things that are around here at Elevate City is change. Everybody say change. So change is a constant in our church. There's no sacred cows here. All right, everybody? And so we're always changing. We're always looking how we can do something better and just continuing to reach people for the glory of God. But last fall, 42% in small groups. After this past spring, we saw that rise from 42 to 65% of you that are in small groups. And so my goal, I told our small group team, is 90%. I want to see 90% of us in small groups. So we're heading there. And so I'm just telling you, people are being discipled and things are happening. And it's an incredible time to be in a small group. If you're not in one, get in one. There's still plenty of time. You can jump in literally at any time, but don't do this life alone. Our kids ministry is growing. We are heading back into the fall, which I said a couple weeks ago, historically is one of the greatest growth seasons for us as a church. Our kids last week back there and two services were at capacity again. So we've been at that problem before, and we've done three services, so that's not far away again here. So we're just preparing. And I'm thankful, though, that we're packing our kids' ministries out, everybody. Amen. And so that your kids are growing and thriving. Can I just tell you that your kids are in a place back there, many of them doing sound now, running with the visual, helping do things like that. I went back there a few weeks ago when Pastor David was preaching back in July, and seeing your kids help lead worship. Yeah, I love that. And kids' small groups that are happening through the week that are led by Pastor Heidi and our team. And so just really excited for what's happening and glad my own kids can remember what they're learning. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. So we always test them on the way home. And so it's important. Our students are growing. I believe this has been the greatest, strongest year for our student ministry, our teenagers like never before. I think God is doing something tangible, something incredible with our teenagers. And we are on a pace that I'm telling you, some cool things are happening. I was hoping to share a couple little tidbits today, but I had to hold on because there's some things in the work of some things that are moving and happening. But I'll say this, man, there is some things happening every week. Our students are at our offices and they're packing it out. So, there's a good problem happening there at our offices where there's not a whole lot of room left there for them as they're growing. But let me tell you what's happening with our teenagers too. They've taken some trips this year, which I think is amazing. I think, I remember doing church camp back in the day. And by the way, they're going to have their first camp experience next year. Our teenagers are going to go on their first camp. And so I'm excited about that because, man, some of my greatest God moments were when I was in church camp. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so, but what's happening is we've got a lot of teenagers right now that aren't here on Sundays but go on Wednesdays. And I like that. And here's why I like that. That shows me that your kids, some of those teenagers that are in that, are inviting and bringing their peers from their schools to our Wednesday night times with our students. And I'm telling you, that's what it's all about. And then those same students are raising up. A lot of our students, even right here this morning, are serving in kids ministry. You'll see them out on the parking lot. Why? Because we believe that they need to own it as well. That Sunday service isn't just for me and you, it's for them as well. And we're trying to teach them to grow and to love the local church and make a difference in their life. Come on, amen, everybody. Amen. And so just real proud of what God's doing there. 2016 missions. I wanted to show this stat to you. As a church last year, we gave into local, national, and worldwide missions $58,305. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. We gave 14% of what came in. And I'll tell you this, the average church in America gives less than 5% to local, national, and worldwide missions. Your church gives 14%. So here's always been my hope. Yeah, I'm happy about it too, because I'm telling you right now, let me say this. We always want to be a church that models generosity well. That we can, at the moment, it's why we work margin into our budget. That way, when natural disasters like that, we don't have to hesitate to send a check, because we want to make a difference and we want to help. And so I just want you to know, as you're faithful with your tithes and your offerings, I promise you this, we are going to leverage it with the best that we promise that we possibly can to make a difference, to always change lives with it. And I'm telling you, that is exactly what we are doing, and I am so excited about that, but I want to see that number grow. As our giving increases, that number grows in Jesus' name as well. Amen, church? All right, and very quickly, here is the number one question I get all the time, and I love it. All right, and that is, what are we going to do about a building? For those that don't know, we sublease this with the Christian school that's here. And so we have a great relationship. We've been here for 3 years at this location. Hard to believe, 3 years in August it was. And it's been well. We haven't, you know, it's, you know, we have to have, you know, work with the teachers and the staff here, and that can be tough sometimes. But nonetheless, God's given us a supernatural grace, and it is supernatural. Amen. And so, but we appreciate it. And I tell you what, if it wasn't for this place, man, wouldn't have had really the opportunity to grow like what we've had, because we outgrew our other facility. And so I will tell you this, are looking and have been looking for our next building. And I just want you to know that we have really over the last year or so just been looking and being patient. Is probably the greatest word of counsel that I have received, is be patient in this and as we trust God. The other thing that we are being patient with is also the idea of building. What would that look like if we bought land and we built? And so that is also on the table, so much so that I'm asking you for some prayers this week. I meet with a lender this week. They're called the Westland Investment Foundation, and they work with local churches and doing an incredible job. They're working actually right now with one of my overseers, Pastor Dave Summerall, in I-Town Church down in Fishers. They're in the process of building. So I don't want you to leave here thinking we're going to build right away, all right? But I'm just trying to, here's what we're trying to do, is gather all the information. So we're trying to gather all the information we can, because we need a permanent place. We got too much happening in this church. So we got conferences. We got Freedom Conference coming up in the fall. And so just a lot happening. So I will say this, though, that we will move at the pace of your generosity. Really, you determine it. And so, and I'm just telling you this, no pressure. This is your church. And so I just want you to know, I will never ask you for anything. In the 5 years of this church, I've never asked you for anything. Never asked you for money, never asked you to give. I won't start that now, all right? But I will always ask you to ask God whatever he would have you to give, and you be obedient to that. Amen, everybody. And here's what I know. I believe in that, you know, that's why we're not going to do pledges and all those kind of things when that time comes for a building. Here's what we'll do. I'll simply just say, go to God. And I just believe, I'm a firm believer, church, in the principle of God's tithe and offering. That's his system for finances. And so I just know, when we're faithful in our tithes, and when we're faithful to call to go above beyond that in our offerings, man, God can do anything, and we can do anything together. But I will also say this, our budget will never determine our vision. That we will continue to go, we're going to continue to reach lost people no matter what. Can you say a good amen today? All right? All right, so let's get into the Word. I've got a message here. I don't have a lot of time, but give me a little grace today, because I had a lot to truck through there, all right? So Nehemiah chapter 1. All right, I love this story of Nehemiah so much, because this brother was a flat-out warrior for God. But he was in a day and a time where his city was destroyed. The Bible talks about that his city, the Babylonians, came in and they destroyed, tore down the city, tore down, burned down the walls of Jerusalem. And it says this in chapter 1, it says, they said to me, talking to Nehemiah, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire. Now, I want you to see something very powerful here, because Nehemiah is in a place that he's listening of what's happened to the city and knowing things are not well. And the Bible says when he heard this, he sat down and wept. In fact, for days, everybody say for days. He said, I mourned, I fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. There's something about this verse that really hit my spirit this week as I was preparing this message. And that was when he heard what happened to his city, his first reaction was, man, he was in pain. He was in pain because people were in pain. He was in pain because the city that in which he lived in for so long, man, was torn down. People that he loved. And it got me thinking this week, when's the last time you and I have wept for our city? When's the last time that we've thought about what's happening, really happening in Fort Wayne? I know we got busy lives, everybody, but when's the last time that we've just taken some time to think about the pain, the suffering, the issues and the problems that are going on within our community and our city? And I hope and I pray that you realize and you see the massive need. Listen, you don't have to just turn on the news, the local news, to see that we need some more Jesus up in our city. And it's everywhere. And you see the problems everywhere. And I'm just telling you, you and I are called to be the answer to this world and to our city right here in Fort Wayne. And you got what it takes. That there's more in you than what you realize. And so this scripture really captivated me because I thought, man, Lord, may we have a burden for our city. That we just don't live here, raise our kids here, and go to work. But may we fall in love with the city that we're in. I don't care what the weather determines. It's not going to mess with my love for people. And so no matter what's happening, good or bad, that I have a heart for our city and for the people of Fort Wayne that are hurting. We have people in our church that are in different sectors of society, which I believe we're called to affect. And one of them, you know, I was talking to Chelsea here not too long ago and what she does in her work, and she's helping, you know, homeless teenagers in our city. Think about that, everybody. We've got kids in our city that are homeless. I've got a problem with that. And we need to continue to step up and figure out and be the answer. Amen, everybody? That's not okay with me. It's not okay that 60,000 of 380,000 people in the greater Fort Wayne area are in church. That's it. That's a lot of people, everybody. Thousands of people in Fort Wayne that are not in church, have no idea where the rest of them are at with God, the other 320,000 people. That ought to bother you. It ought to bother us, but it ought to send us to a place of prayer, that God, would you move in our city? Would you raise us up in the place and the call that you've given us? Would elevate city? God, would you use us to be a voice and not an echo in our city? Because I always think about it. If we closed our doors today when you left for good, would anybody know and would anybody care? And I think people would know, and I surely hope people would care because of the difference that each and every one of us are making. Are you here? Amen? So it goes on to say chapter 2. So he's in a place, it's been about 70 years, and Nehemiah was the cupbearer, the Bible says, for the king, the Babylonian king. And again, all his people were slaves at that time, and he finds favor with the king. So I'm kind of summarizing the story, and I'm going to kind of skip around some verses. And he gets in a place where he finds favor with the king. He tells the king, hey, I got to go back. I got to go back and rebuild my city. It's not okay that this mess is going on. But I can't do this by myself. I need some people to go with me. And it says this, you know very well what trouble we're in. Jerusalem, he said, lies in ruins. Its gates have been destroyed by fire. He made a decision. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. So he finds favor. They go. And then anytime you start moving forward in what God calls you, can I just tell you, you will always be met by resistance. The enemy only attacks those he fears the most. So when you start wanting to advance the kingdom of God, guess what you're going to get met with? Listen, I'm telling you right now, Satan's just not going to lay down, have some popcorn with you, and just say, oh yeah, go ahead and advance the kingdom. You know what I mean? Just not going to happen. He's going to do everything he can to distract you, to try to take you away from vision and focus in order to take you out. He's okay if we're just a part of Sunday church as long as we're not doing anything else with our life. But it's when people of God start rising up in their place and in their call and in their mantle and say, man, I'm not just going to sit here. I'm going to be the answer. I'm going to do what God has called me to do because I'm sick and tired of watching some of this on the news or whatever. So I'm going to start stepping up. I'm going to go through a growth track, lead a small group. I'm going to start that ministry. I'm going to start that business and start making a difference for the glory of God because I can't stay where I'm at. I can't stay here. I've got to keep moving. And so I like this. He's met by some haters. You ever had some haters in your life? If you haven't, you're going to. Once you start doing something great for God, you're going to have some, they're going to line up. And they're going to start critiquing everything you do and telling you, you need to do it this way, do it that way. If you don't do it this way, then God's not on it and da-da-da-da. I mean, just, whoa. And then you're just going to have them hate you. Then they'll write you some emails, write you some letters, tell you how awful you are. But I'm just telling you, even when they come, when you know what God has placed within you to do, baby, nothing can sway you from God's place and his vision for your life. Amen? So here he was, these two idiots, Sanballat and Tobiah, and a bunch of others. Sorry. They are, really. I mean, as the Bible says this, they heard the work that was going on, Sanballat, Tobiah, and tried to get some other people to flutter along with them. And that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They made plans to come, look at this, and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we prayed. I love the response because when you're attacked, can I just tell you, when you're attacked or when people say things to you, can I tell you your greatest response is just run to God. Let God do the talking. If we would have more people just kind of zip our lip and just let God do our talking and continue about God's business, I'm telling you, the haters just, you won't even hear them anymore. And so that's what Nehemiah was positioning, he and his team. He said, hey guys, stay focused. Stay focused. Everybody say, stay focused. So guard the city day and night to protect ourselves. The laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting the load and the one hand holding a weapon. And so they replied. So again, it's just this constant battle with Nehemiah, Sanballat, Tobiah, just trying to continue to get them to get off this wall, quit building, quit building, quit building. And so finally, he just got so irritated. He just sent them a message. He said, I have no time to respond to this. And he just sent a messenger, and he said, tell them, Nehemiah 6:3, tell them I'm engaged in a great work. Everybody shout, a great work.
Great work.
So, ain't got time to come down. Why should I stop what I'm doing to meet with you? And here was what I was envisioning. Pray for me. But here was what I was envisioning, though. The Bible said that Nehemiah was in a place with his team that they were engaged in a great work. So envision, you know, the wall and their city. And here they are in a place where below them were people that were constantly criticizing, trying to get them to get off focus. I'm telling you, between Satan sometimes and negative voices, you've got to be careful who you're listening to. You need right voices in your life that are going to push you towards God, not away from God. Listen, if you have somebody in your life that's trying to take you away from God's plan and purpose in your life, you need to run from them. Like, you ain't have time for that. You're on a journey and pursuing it. And so I'm just encouraging you to this. Know God's voice, and you better know his voice versus man's. Absolutely. And so the Bible says there they were in that place, engaged in a great work. But I love what he said about his guys that were building. The Bible said with one hand they were working, they were building, they were continuing the mission, they were continuing the vision. Nothing was going to stop them. But Nehemiah reminded them, I thought this was so powerful in that scripture where we just saw it, that in the midst of it, they also had a weapon. Now our weapon is not guns and knives and bombs. Our weapons as God's people is the word and is in prayer. So I'm just encouraging you this morning, church, as we continue to be the people that God has called us to be, that we continue to keep working, but realize, not be naive to know that we've got an enemy that's trying to take us out, to continue to keep a sword in your hand while you're working, and to know that this is not about me, this is not about you, this is about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ that do not know him this morning. Come on, and we got to stay focused. Come on, we can give God a better hand than that. So don't come down from the mission and the task and the vision that God has for you just because you got some people that aren't happy with you or because Satan's trying to tempt you and mess you up. You got to keep, come on, keep working with one hand and keep fighting in another. And the key is also understanding you can't do this alone, nor can you do it by yourself ever in this journey. You're always going to need God. You're always going to need people in this together with you. So the vision, everybody shout the vision. Colossians 1, 28, 29, it says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in the relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. What I want you to visualize too with this today is don't come down. Don't come down from the place that God has called you to. Don't allow anything, anybody, to trip you up. Stay focused. I love something Pastor Josh Monty talked about last week. Keep leaning in. Lean into your relationship with God. Keep leaning in to him and his voice. Amen? Amen. I didn't fall. Praise God. All right. So here we go. Jot this down today. Many were worried about me this morning. All right. So I still got one service to go. Pray for me. But number one, jot it down. Know God. We know this. So today I'm going to give you what we do, but the why we do it. My greatest hope today was continuing to help us as a church, as God's people, continually understanding where we're going as a church, what we're trying to accomplish for the kingdom of God. So here's what we do. We create weekend worship experiences that both unchurched people and believers love to attend. In other words, I look at the Sundays as a big evangelistic crusade, man, where we give the gospel. And then, man, we throw out the opportunity, man, for people to make decisions in their life to follow Jesus and then take next steps. Amen? And I believe if we don't get this right, nothing else works. We will do anything short of sin to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's why we do it. You have to know the why behind the what. And here's why we do it. Because reaching the lost is a biblical mandate. The Great Commission. It's not a small one. It's a great one. And here's what happens. People lose their way when they lose their why. So part of our responsibility, and I think the local church, we've got to continue to grow and help people understand what their purpose is, what their giftings are, and realize that the church does not exist for us, but we are the church, and we exist for the world. Amen, church? And because heaven and hell are realities, we have a job to do, and that is reach people. You know, the Bible says that heaven rejoices even over one. We'll have at least that, if not more. We're averaging around 11 decisions a weekend for Jesus. I think it's incredible. But we'll have that today. But the Bible says just over one that heaven rejoices over that one who gave their hearts to the Lord. Jesus said it's not the healthy that need a doctor, that need a physician. It's the sick. I love, if you read in your Bibles in Luke chapter 15, it's a whole chapter dedicated to the lost. It's powerful. Go read it when you get time. But I just believe inviting the unchurched to a life-giving church, life-giving atmosphere is still effective today. Amen? Luke 14 says this, go out into the country, urge anyone you find to come in so that my house will be full. Can I tell you, God loves it when his house is packed. God loves a party. He loves a party, and he loves it when you have to sit elbow to elbow to people. Like, I know that's not what we always want, but he likes a packed house. Acts 1:8, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem or in Fort Wayne, in Judea and Samaria, which represents America, and then to the ends of the world. So jot this down, that we desire to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. And here's what I know, because God's lost kids matter to him, they matter to us. And I've just made a decision, everybody. We are going to make it hard for people to go to hell in our city. That was weak. I said, I'm going to say it again. We're going to make it hard and difficult for people to go to hell in our city. Amen, everybody? By making it easy for people to be able to come, hear the gospel, and get inside his house. Here's the second thing, and that is find freedom. Find freedom. So what do? We create small groups where people can experience community. I love it. Where they can find freedom, and then where they can take next steps. Can I just tell you, freedom is for everyone. What happens is most people, most Christians, stop at just the first step of just knowing God. We all have issues in our life that we're working out. But what happens with most of us, we just stop at that place of just
being saved, coming to church, but not ever really working out our issues. Here's the deal. If nobody else knows what's going on in your life, you're in a dangerous place. We're only as sick as our secrets. You need somebody that knows what's going on with you. You need a friend. And that's why I love our small groups so much, because it's powerful. And we have our freedom groups. We have 5 of them. I'm challenging every man. Like, there's still time to jump in. I have my small groups Tuesday night, 7 o'clock at the church offices. And there's a lot of other small groups and freedom groups, co-ed as well. I'm just challenging every man. God put a burden on my heart for every one of you men this year. And I don't know, whatever it is that we're going through together, let's just go through it together. Amen. One of my greatest issues growing up, my late teens and right there in my early 20s, was pornography. And finally, one day, I just made a decision. Pornography is not going to run my life. Pornography is not going to lead my life. Are you here today, church? That addiction is going to be broken. I'm just telling you, whatever man or woman struggle you've got, I'm telling you, there is a place in our small groups where you can work that stuff out and go through a process of freedom, because freedom is for everybody. And God wants us not just forgiven, He wants you free too. Here's why we do it. Where the Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And why we do it, because small groups are a biblical model. Acts 20:20. People need community, and which is why our church must become larger and smaller at the same time. Yeah, how many of y'all remember the old TV show Cheers? Remember the song? A place where everybody knows you're nice. That's pretty good. And we're so glad that you came. That's what you need. That's what small groups are. You need a place where everybody knows your name. Listen to me. Elevate City can be a lonely place if you're just here on a Sunday and that's it. But I'm telling you, if you get connected in relationships and small groups, that's the game changer. These different stories you've been hearing over the last few weeks, it's because they've made steps and made the decision, I'm just not going to stay here. Man, I'm going to put forth, I'm going to get some skin in the game, and I'm going to be a part of whatever God wants for me to do. But people need community. I know this for a fact, and we must become, what's that mean? We must become larger and smaller, because as our church grows larger, we've got to have more small groups to keep that atmosphere of knowing names, because it is so important. I need somebody to know my name and my struggles and my issues. And we're not growing for ego reasons, everybody. We're growing because God so loved the world, and we have a responsibility to Fort Wayne. Amen, everybody? And so, you know, and that's what kind of bothers me when people say, the church is, man, it's 500-600 people now. It's getting a little big. I kind of like the small church. Can I just tell you, anything that's healthy grows. Yeah. And let me say it this way, too. It just has always kind of irked me when people say, that church is too big. Like, I don't go to that church because it's too big. Well, I've never heard anybody drive down DuPont and say, man, Parkview Hospital is too big. Like, they are helping way too many sick people. Like, who do they think they are? Like, what are they doing? I've just never heard anybody say that. So what we need to see is, as we grow numerically on Sundays, that we see, man, did you see church today? It was packed, man. I'm telling you, lives are being changed. Sick people are being brought in and coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't care how big we get. We gonna reach people for Jesus, everybody. Gonna reach people. Life change happens in relationships. We need groups. I love the James 5:16 principle. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. We desire to see every person connect in life-giving relationships. God never intended for you to stay where you started. I'm going to say it again. God never intended for you to stay where you started. I'm telling you, next steps. Take the step. We're on a rescue mission, everybody. Everybody say, we're on a rescue mission. I say it again like you mean it. We're on a rescue mission. We have been radically rescued to rescue radically. Some of us have been through hell in our lives, and you've got a story. Some of you, man, may have been in a place like me years ago. You knew religion but really didn't know God until God woke me up. You don't have to have a tragedy to have a testimony. I just want you to know that today. But some of us have been through some stuff too, man. And God rescued you. And at the beginning of this year, if you were here, and if you weren't, I'll catch you up. I gave out lifesavers to everybody. How many remember that? Great, great. And I said to us, and I challenged us, this is the year that they get saved. Get them here. And keep building that relationship, but this is the year. I'm telling you, after the movies are coming up, what a time to get them in church. All right? So I want you to remember that. And I remember I was on vacation. This is before I got married and had a wife that would have told me at this time to not do what I did. But I was in the Carolinas vacationing, and we went out to the beach. Man, we were so excited. It was sunny where we were at, and then all of a sudden we get to the beach. Man, there's a storm that just came through. And so red flags are up. How many know what the red flags mean? All right, baby, you at your own risk. Ain't no lifeguards out here today, all right? And so me and some boys, well, we thought, what's up? You know, we went out, had my boogie board. Man, the waves are killer. Waves were killer. Rode them waves, and then all of a sudden, Pastor Kyle took a tumble in the waves, got thrown to the seafloor hard, and then I got sucked up in a riptide. Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, I started drifting out. And I see my friends and other people that were there, like, yelling at me. Like, I'm like, guys, I realize. I know this is not good, you know. And they're like, you know, doing this. And I remembered, swim diagonal. Don't swim against it. Swim to get out of it. So I swam diagonal, and man, there they all come. And I wish they had one of these, but instead, they were my lifesavers, and they came and rescued me. I'm of the belief I would have died that day had it not been for people. And here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week as I was preparing for this message, that there are people that are drowning in Fort Wayne that you and I are called to rescue. There are people in your workplace, family members, friends, that are drowning today that need a lifesaver. And I'm telling you, you and I are called to be that to our community, to our friends, our family, and our coworkers. Come on, if you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Luke 19, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek," he was on a rescue mission, still is, "seek and to save those who are lost." Number three, discover purpose. I got to move quick. Discover your purpose. I love this. What we do, we try to create an easy, very obvious, effective process for people to discover their purpose and serve on the team. And like you heard Megan say, not just serve in the four walls on the team, but go and learn how to serve outside the walls and make a difference as well. Step one's today. I invite you to be at it today. I invite you today to be at step one. I'm teaching it today. It's all about understanding our vision and where we're going as a church and as a people. Then step two is next Sunday, where you will find and discover your purpose. You'll go through, man, a great, the DISC assessment that'll help you with your personality, knowing your strengths, your weaknesses, and then you'll go through a gift assessment, which is powerful, so that you know where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing in life. Step three is all about just commitment and character. What's leadership look like in character? And then fourth is, baby, go make a difference and go on a team. Ephesians 4:11. Says he handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving, I love this, rhythmically and easy with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. 1 Peter 4, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well. Manage them well, so that God's generosity can flow through you. Why we do it? Because people ministering is God's biblical model. We look at everybody, man, as ministers. Here's the other thing I know. People need to be needed. There's something within all of us that need to be needed and know we're making a difference. Because serving others, I know, meets the greatest need of the human heart. When I'm touching and moving forward in what God has called me to make a difference in the lives of other people, man, there's nothing more fulfilling in my life than when I'm making a difference. And because God's purpose for our church is revealed in the people that he sends us. That I'm not dreaming alone, we're dreaming together. And so I just think we have to do a great job of helping people, especially when 87% of Christians in our nation don't know their gifts, don't know their purpose. And I just know we're better when we are together in this. Every one of you are 10 at something. Look at the person next to you and say, you are awesome at something. And listen, I want you to know something. Hear my heart on this. Listen, This is not a gimmick. I want you to hear my heart on this. Like, this is not a gimmick to try to get you to sign up for something. This is not Volunteer Sunday. Like, I hate the word volunteer. Like, it's a dirty word to me. Like, we're doing okay. Like, the coffee got here this morning. People got greeted this morning. You were parked this morning. The worship happened. Like, we're doing okay. But here's what I know. We're better with you. And here's what I know. We need you, but I really think you need us too. And you need this. I believe that. So that we can do this together and make a difference for Jesus. Are you here this morning? So grow in your purpose. Jot it down. Grow in your purpose. Come on. I love this quote. I'm going to end here. D.L. Moody said this. I put this in your notes. At least I think it did. Did I? Oh, great. He said this. Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. Gosh, I thought that was powerful. Here's the last one. Make a difference. Make a difference. 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. And people have asked me, said, man, Pastor, people are happy here. Like, praise God. They're smiling. There's free coffee. You know, we give away gift cards and you know, just we have great gifts for all of our first-time guests. I said, man, I'm just telling you, we're just trying to stay out of the way and let people connect to a real living God. Listen to me, Romans chapter 2. The Bible says it's the kindness or the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. That's why we do it, everybody. It's the kindness of God. And we just try to do it well. We're not perfect. We're just trying to use our gifts, serve God, give him all the glory, because he gets all the credit, all the glory. And then make it easy for people to know Jesus. That's it. I think about some people that we got so many amazing people that serve on our dream team. But throw the first one up there. I think about people like an Amy, who's been with us a little over a year, who came in our church as an atheist. It's part of her story. All these people you're seeing, I'm going to show you. I got permission for the most part. And now went through Growth Track, serving on Sunday morning. Sometimes you'll see her out in the parking lot helping direct cars. But today, she also went through Freedom Small Group, and today she's co-leading a Freedom Small Group. Awesome. That's life change. That's life change. Proud of you, Amy. My man, Chad, that's my boy. I love him. Chad was someone last year that came to our At the Movies experience for the first time. He was invited by his brother. And man, that Sunday, gave his heart completely over to Jesus. Since then, he's been saved, baptized, went through a Freedom Small Group. Now he's also leading with the ushers on the team and serving and making a difference. Life change, everybody. I'm so proud of Chad, my man. Who else we got? Rachel. Some of you may have heard her story last week on the news and on our news here, church news. And man, this woman of God just started coming to the church a few months ago. And alcohol was running her life. And she said on there, she was an alcoholic, and I'm telling you, tried to take her life. But man, she came here in our January time and gave her heart over to the things of God, man. Her heart completely to the Lord. Now she's jumped in, went through Freedom Small Group. And now today she starts Growth Track, and I think that's awesome. Yeah. Life change. Last one. Donovan, Kaylee Reeves. Love these guys very much. These guys came to us, I want to say a year, 2 years ago now maybe. But I put their picture up there because when I walk through the halls, I see these guys teaching together. I think what a great picture of family that's leading together. They're in our kids' ministry. They help teach your kids. They're an amazing couple. They both going through small groups, been through them as well. But I just think it's awesome when families and marriages come together, serve together, make a difference. Amen, everybody? Amen. I think it's awesome. So here's what I know. We can't stay where we're at. We've got to keep moving forward and what God has given us and called us to do. Amen, everybody? Would you bow your heads where you're at today? I just want to pray over us. I want you just to be in agreement with me as we just pray over the vision and what God's given us to do. And Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you for the mission and what you've given us to do, our assignment as a church here at Elevate City. God, you're an amazing God. And there's no way we could ever do this without you. We need you every step of the way. And so, God, we call upon you and we thank you, God, for all that you're doing, for everything you've done in 5 years. But we know we cannot stop where we're at. We must keep moving forward into your call. And so, Father, as your people today, maybe some of us for the first time, maybe we've never served, maybe we were hurt at one point. And Father, I just pray today more than anything that every single person would feel nothing but your love and your encouragement, and that every person would also know, man, there's a church here on the northwest side of Fort Wayne, God, that cares for them, that loves them. We're not going to be perfect, but God, we're going to do our best to help people in this journey to draw closer and closer to you. That is our prayer. So, Father, we thank you for our city. We thank you for Fort Wayne today, that you've called us to be light in the midst of darkness. God, where there's darkness, that you have called us to push back that darkness in our city with your light through outreaches and community and small groups. And God, through our church, being God, sending the message of hope to every person, every life. And we give you thanks. I give you thanks in advance for At the Movies coming up. I thank you for coworkers and friends and family members who don't know you, God, that will make decisions to come to know you. We unite together right now in believing for their salvations in the name of Jesus Christ. So, God, I just put that before you today and ask you, God, move. And now, God, move on every life, every person in here, God, as we take this mission that you've given us and to go forward in the name of Jesus. If you're here today, I want to give us an opportunity before we leave this place. And Jesus is not the Lord of your life. It's an easy decision because he's already paid the price. You don't have to do anything. All you've got to do is just believe and receive the free gift of salvation. With every head bowed, all eyes closed across the room, if you're here and you say, man, I know I need to put Jesus first in my life, and I need that relationship. I've been trying to do this on my own, but I'm telling you, without the power of God in your life, you'll continue to struggle. What you and I both need is saving, and that's only through Jesus Christ. So this morning, with every head bowed, if that's you, I want you to throw your hand up in just a moment when I count to three. Come on, this is between you and God. Forget about who's on your right and your left. Come on. One, two, three, all in this place. Yes, gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. Awesome, awesome. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, gotcha, buddy. Awesome. Proud of you. Great. Great. Just say this prayer, all of us with me, and for those that are lifted your hand, just say something like this with me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. I'm born again today. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give Jesus the hand that he's due. Come on, for those that made decisions today. Yeah.